You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio, a Fan Run Friday. Russell Smith back with you here. Got Trey Wallace and Bear with me for the next 3 hours. We get set to kick it. The last days of May. It was a great Blue Oyster Cult song back in the day. Bear, are you familiar with that one?
Slightly.
It's on the same album as Stairway to the Stars.
I'm not as steeped in them as you are, Russell.
I wouldn't say I'm steeped in Blue Oyster Cult, but I appreciate the classics. They have their place. Little BOC. Trey, are you familiar with Blue Oyster Cult? Are you familiar with their work?
Absolutely not. Maybe I've heard a song or something like that.
Oh, you've heard a song. John, not that Fulkerson. Have you ever, Blue Oyster Cult, is this the first time you've heard those three words put together in that particular order?
It is. I've never heard that before.
You've heard the song, Don't Fear the Reaper. You've never heard Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult? Wow.
So this isn't the same band as Blue October.
No, just because it has one of the same word in it, Trey, does not make it the same band.
And if they change names or something, heck, I didn't know. Okay.
You've never heard. Just go ahead and text me, Folky. You've never heard. I don't believe that, man. How have you never heard? You got to have more cowbell. You've seen the sketch? Unbelievable.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now.
Gotta have more cowbell.
That makes sense now.
Bear, what's Blue BOC's other big hit? And why do you keep why do you keep throwing us curveballs here? I'm on the Skype. I'm on the phone.
Well, because you keep throwing me curveballs, Russ. I didn't get the memo that we're back in studio. The show's back in studio. We're back in studio.
No.
Yeah.
I'm here. You're there. I'm totally lost here. What is hard about this? I'm in studio. You're not.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, I mean, if you're in studio, that means the show's back on. For real, I'll be in there on Monday. You just need to tell me we're back in studio.
You don't have to come back in, man. You're a high risk group.
That's not up to you. I'm a grown ass man, dude. But if the show's back in studio, I'm back in studio.
All right.
Other Blue Oyster Cults,
this still does not answer the question of why Barrett has switched to the phone, but go ahead, please.
Because you are an excruciating volume coming through on Skype the way I do it.
Okay.
Okay?
You can't turn me down?
No, because then Trey will be inaudible to me.
All right, my brain's hurting. Please, go ahead. More BOC. This is what you call throwing
the
heat out of the gates, ladies and gentlemen. Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah.
Go, go, Godzilla.
Like I said, man, I'm not as familiar with their catalog as you are. Like, there's some stuff where, like, it baffles me. Like, that song you sent me, I've never heard that song before.
The Beach Boys, Vegetables? You've never heard
I've never heard that song, dude.
Wow.
And I consider myself to be fairly well-versed in Beach Boys. Trey, have you ever heard the Beach Boys song Vegetables?
Well, no, of course he hasn't.
What the hell is that supposed to mean, Russ? Maybe you never know. Somebody might be a closet Brian Wilson freak.
He does.
Let the man answer.
Trey does not have I'm sorry, Trey, go ahead.
No, just the only thing I really know about the Beach Boys is that episode they were in Full House.
I'm burning for you.
That's a good one. I'm burning for you.
Veteran of psychic
Mike in
wars.
South Knoxville says that Russ's favorite singer is Boy George. What the hell does that mean?
freedom. I mean,
is that supposed to be like a homosexual joke? It's 2020. I don't think that's.
I don't know.
I'm not down with that.
I mean, could you imagine being that dumb that you put that out there?
A knuckle dragger.
I mean, just a third grader.
I'll bet you like Wham too.
Russell, his favorite singer's Elton John.
This is what you call throwing heat out of the gates, folks. May has come, May is gone. In some ways, it took forever. In some ways, it's been gone in the blink of the eye. But all I know, ladies and gentlemen, is players are coming back next week for workouts starting a week from Monday. And ladies and gentlemen, it smells like football. Or is that just football? No, that's football.
Nah, it's got that summer. It's got summer camp, summer football camp kind of, you know. It's going to be really cool, apparently, this weekend, according to Heather Haley. Have a nice weekend.
Really? Hoping to get the grass cut?
Oh, mine's freshly manicured.
Freshly
guys came
mowed.
By and did an excellent job today. I've had a good day, Russ. I'm in a good mood, fellas.
I could tell. I'll see if I can get you out of that. Give me a segment or two. I'll work on it. We got Barrett Salee coming on the show here in a few minutes.
Heck yeah.
Barrett, if this is not the first time Barrett has been bullish on the Vols, I remember, I don't know if it was 2017 or 2016, but I remember going into that year, I think it was 2016, and he picked Tennessee to win the East. He was very bullish on the Vols. So you take that however you want to take that. But he has Tennessee going 9-3, still finishing third in the East. But, Bear, I think we'd all take 9-3 right now and call
today.
Tied
for second.
Tied for second with Georgia?
I mean, I would, but you know me. I'm going to be bitter about what that third loss is.
Oh, sure. I think we all will.
Because I tell you, 9-3 and losing to Florida, Georgia, and Alabama – that doesn't really do a whole lot for me.
Well, the conversation about if you could only win one of the four big games on the schedule, which one would it be, is I think most Tennessee fans in their heart of hearts would go ahead and take that if they know they're not going to stub their toe. They would go ahead and take 9-3. But it is – that's the reason it's such a great conversation is it's hard to choose, right? I mean – no matter what you choose, if you only choose one, those other three are going to hurt. And so there's no great answer, in my opinion, as far as, you know, only winning one, which would you take? But I think that 9-3 would be a step in the right direction for sure. You would have one signature win under your belt heading into a bowl game. I think that would secure this top five-ish type recruiting class we're assembling right now. And I think that would set the stage for hopefully an offseason in 2021 where we're talking about, okay, we should be in every game. We should win all our non-conference games for sure. And we should play with Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, who Coach Fulmer has said, you know, that's the measuring stick. That's what we're shooting for. We should be in all those games. And we should win at least one of them, probably two of them. And hell, you don't know how that funny-shaped ball is going to bounce. Maybe you win all three. So, but I do think winning at least eight games, preferably nine this year, you got to do that before you can do the other in 2021. It's a big year. It's a big year. Folky,
I mean, that's a feel. I'll just be a little disappointed if, I mean, it's just going to, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, pissing and moaning and calling for his job or, I mean, at 9-3, there's no question. We're still on a rocket trajectory. I really want us to arrive a year early.
Folky,
Butch had that set up right in front of him.
Folky, look me in the eye and tell me you've never heard this. Tell me you never heard this, Folky. Never? You never heard this?
I've never heard that. I've seen an SNL skit. My dad just sent me a link to it, but I haven't heard the song.
Gotta have more cowbell.
Russ.
What? What a riff.
Did you get high on the way to the station today? What the hell's going on? We're in the middle of a conversation.
No more.
You're playing
usual.
A song off your phone for Fulkerson.
It's called bumper music. Take us to break, John Fulkerson. Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, coming up.
The Drive. Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Barrett Trey with you. This portion of the show brought to you by David Britt and his team at Volunteer State Insurance Brokers. Volunteer it oh God. Just bombing it, David Britt. I'm sorry. VolunteerStateInsurance.com. Russell, you've only been doing these live reads every day for a month. You think you would know the website right now. You would think. Give David Britt a call, 865-224-3243 for all your insurance needs. He is there for you. And if you enroll in a new health or life policy between now and the end of June with David Britt, he will pay your first month's premium on said policy. How's that? How's that? I think we've all, I don't want to get morbid here, but kind of looked ourselves in the mirror the past couple of weeks, months, and pondered our own mortality. You don't have a good life insurance policy, and you don't have a what are you doing? You need to call David today. He'll walk you through all the ins and outs. 865-224-3243, 224-3243, or email him, David Britt at VolunteerStateInsurance.com. Pleased to be joined now by Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, on the phone with us this afternoon. Hello, Barrett. How are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Man, we are wrapping up the month of May. Looking forward to next week. Players, it's kind of like spring training, you know, pitchers and catchers report. I guess players report next week, and then they start working out. And Barrett, it looks like we're going to have some football here this year.
Yeah, it's definitely on the way. You know, I think now that, you know, everyone sort of has a plan, or at least a loose plan of how to return, I think is certainly an indicator that things are going in the right direction. And look, you know, a lot of coaches had said 6 to 8 weeks or so of lead up time, something along those lines. If they're getting back to strength and conditioning by June 8th, you know, you're looking at, I think, an on-time start. In fact, you might have the ability to even take a little bit of a break between, you know, pure strength and conditioning and actual, you know, fall camp. So yeah, it's definitely trending in that direction. I think, you know, all signs are, all things are go. And I think the next thing, and you've seen this, everyone's sort of dipping their toe in the water, taking baby steps, which is fine because, you know, we haven't done this before. But I think the next step is, you know, how do you let fall camp happen at the same time? You know, are you going to have fans in the stands? And I think by the time football season rolls around, you're probably going to have a pretty good idea based on whatever NASCAR chooses to do after their little small run. My favorite sport is Supercross, starts up on Sunday. They're doing 7 races in 3.5 weeks, all at Rice-Eccles Stadium. They say no fans right now, but we'll see. And then baseball, basketball, NHL, will, you know, they'll have a little bit of a, and I hate this term, because it's such a corporate term, but best practices sort of worked out.
Best practices indeed. Barrett Salee with us here this afternoon, Fan Run Radio. Barrett, you got some record predictions out over at CBS Sports. You have Tennessee going 9-3. That is music to Vol fans' ears. First time that would be the first 9-3 Tennessee has thrown up since 2007. My goodness. So I guess the big question is, with games against Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, what's the big win you see Tennessee notching this year?
Yeah, I'd say Florida. I have Florida in my story in week 4 as the one that Tennessee gets because, you know, at Knoxville, obviously that's big. You know, I think returning starters are going to matter a lot more. Tennessee's got a lot of them. You know, Florida, I think they're going to win the East, but sometimes there are inexplicable losses or losses that, you know, have a few factors that play into them. And I think that will be the case on Rocky Top when Florida gets there. As it's just it's a bad time to play Tennessee because they are experienced, and Florida still might be figuring itself out a little bit, you know, on both sides of the line of scrimmage without really being tested really so far in the season. So that's what I have. It will be an upset. That's the best explanation I can give you. I think there are valid reasons for that upset. But, you know, are they convincing enough to make it a legitimate argument, a good argument? No, but I think it's an argument, and that's all I need in terms of picking, you know, small upsets here and there because, you know, the ball bounces different ways. If college football was predictable, then we wouldn't like it. And that's one that I think is not necessarily predictable, but at least there are reasons to predict it.
Well, it just seems like the East is actually up for grabs this year. I mean, the past two seasons, there's been no doubt going, you know, like Georgia's the team, it's their division, and, man, they haven't really even been challenged, certainly not by Tennessee, maybe a little bit by Florida, but it's been Georgia's division, and I guess it's just, from an entertainment perspective, good to actually go into the season with it feeling a little bit up for grabs once again.
Well, and it should be because, you know, I think Florida has the best quarterback in the SEC, at least right now. And Georgia, you know, I think there's this idea that Jamie Newman is going to step in, or maybe JT Daniels if he gets his waiver. They're going to be better than they were offensively. But they're replacing three starters on the offensive line. They don't really have a playmaker outside except for George Pickens, and how big of a playmaker he is debatable. They lose a star in DeAndre Swift, and Zamir White's good, but he's never been a number one back. And I think Todd Monken's a good offensive coordinator. It's the right decision for Kirby Smart to open things up, but there's still a lot of questions on that roster. And again, I think, you know, this is a season where returning starters are going to matter more than maybe in previous seasons. So, you know, I think, yeah, it's the idea that, you know, it's just unequivocally Georgia's team and Georgia's season. I think that's unfair. And look, I got a lot of grief when I did this because, like I said, I do have Florida winning the East with Tennessee being their only loss. A lot of it has to do with the fact that Georgia gets Alabama as its rotating game. And really what it comes down to then, and I don't think all the Georgia fans that lit me up on Twitter realize this, is really all that prediction is picking Florida over Georgia in the cocktail party. Like, that's the only reason that the records work out that way. So, you know, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be wide open. I don't think there's going to be a national championship caliber team in the East this year. Where in the last three seasons, you know, Georgia has obviously been that. They've been in the SEC championship game with a playoff berth literally right there.
Hey, Barrett, this is Trey, and I appreciate you joining us, buddy. Looking at the Tennessee roster, with what they have coming back, and look, nobody is ever going to be satisfied in Knoxville at the quarterback position, you know, until the, you know, I guess the little
Peyton Manning comes back
to Tennessee. Yeah.
Exactly.
No kidding, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting. But I ask you this question. With Tennessee's veteran team, they've got guys that have been on the – look, they're having to replace the wide receiver position. But when you look around the conference at other teams that are trying to replace so much, do you look at a squad like Tennessee and like, okay, you know, they're not having to replace that much talent? Is that a good sign for them with the 6 weeks that we might get, you know, with the no spring football? How does that play out for a team like Tennessee and maybe one other?
I think it definitely plays into Tennessee's favor. You know, offensive line pretty much set. You know, Jarrett Garantano, I mean, he's had his ups, he's had his downs. I think if you're looking at this season, just have him not screw it up that often. You know, make sure his floor is not that low, and they'll be fine. They can run the ball, obviously. You know, with you know, the crew they've got, including Eric Gray, and yeah, I think it definitely plays into Tennessee's favor that really the only thing they have to worry about is what the upside is. And, you know, everybody else sort of has to worry about other things before that question even enters their mind. They have to figure out positions. At least Tennessee sort of has a pretty good idea of what its offense is going to look like. So, yeah, that definitely plays in Tennessee's favor. And again, to me, Tennessee, in my mind, is going to be probably the most, at least right now, in my mind, is viewed as the most stable team because – you kind of know what you're going to get. I don't think their ceiling is as high as the other two teams, but I don't think their floor potentially is, you know, right now, should be that much of a concern. You know, once the season starts, we'll see what happens. But, you know, is there a concern that, that Tennessee is just going to tank? I just don't see how you could possibly think that right now with that roster.
When you look at the SEC in a whole, Barrett, you know, the LSUs, the Auburns, the Alabamas, you know, LSU and Bama, I don't want to say working in new quarterbacks. These are guys that have kind of been around and taken some snaps. But when you look at the conference as a whole, you know, who are two or three teams that you think could make a run towards the college football playoff at the end of the season?
You know, I think Alabama is going to be solid. You know, I don't think, I said this on HQ this week, I don't think Mac Jones can win a playoff at quarterback, but he can get you there. I think Bryce Young potentially could win one. You know, I think in the West, that's obviously a, you know, they're going to be a step above. Behind them, I don't know if there really are any playoff teams right now. Auburn's got to fix both lines of scrimmage. And LSU, man, all those holes to fill, again, going to come into play a little bit more this year than maybe in other years when you have a normal offseason. I don't know what A&M's upside is. So if I had to say, if I had to rank which teams have playoff chances in the West, I would say Alabama, then probably Auburn, and then LSU. But, you know, it's, I don't necessarily think any of those teams are going to be, you know, solid. Alabama, to me, is the only one that I think has a shot at winning a national championship. But the only way that happens is if Bryce Young takes over for Mac Jones. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, I think Alabama can get there, but I don't think that they can, you know, unseat Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, or any of those guys.
Barrett, last question for me, buddy. We look at the – I know we're sitting here. We're about to be in the month of June, and attendance in stadiums is something that's being talked about. And I understand it because you've got people that are buying season tickets. You've got the ticket offices calling their donors, asking for money, you know, but nobody knows what's going to happen come the fall. You know, if you had to look at it right now, is this something where, you know, take Neyland Stadium, for instance, you know, is this something where you think maybe, you know, 30, 40,000 people, they could somehow spread this thing out? Is that feasible, or there are going to be a lot of pissed off season ticket holders come the end of August?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, it's one thing to say, all right, pro sports, you know, season ticket holders get in, right? Because you pay for season tickets. It's that simple. With college football, obviously, there are different, you know, levels and of donations and all that other stuff. And, you know, people exert undue influence, whatever, all that stuff. I'd love to know how, Tennessee, would determine which 40,000 people get the Florida game and which 40,000 people get the Vanderbilt game. That is going to be a problem if that happens. So I don't know how that works. And that's why I say, you know, like, that's the next step. Everyone's sort of taking baby steps, and right now we've got players on campus soon. That's the first step. Then we got to probably figure out fall camp, how that's going to work. That's the next step. At the same time, you got to figure out the fan question. And to me, it's all or nothing for college football. You know, you either have full stadiums or you don't, the more I think about it. And really, that only popped into my head sort of this week where I started thinking about it, like, you know, if you're going to have an issue, just go ahead and scrap fans altogether. But if you're going to open it up partially, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to do.
Hey, Barrett, this is Bear. I just had a quick question and just jumping off of, you know, college football and all that. Barrett's a great follow on Twitter. Everybody, if you're listening, at Barrett Lee. You had a tweet the other night. And I just want you to quickly tell me how you jumped off a three-story building and basically what you left me to believe was, you know, pretty much a kiddie pool.
That wasn't a kiddie pool. It was a regular kidney-shaped pool. It was 10 feet deep, and this house I was at, the pool was even with the basement, so the second floor was really three stories up, right? And I don't know why the house builders designed it this way, but there was a patio in a room right above the pool. And so a lot of us thought it was a good idea to jump off into from that patio into a pool. And I did it several times. I didn't hit anything, didn't break anything. And, you know, it certainly looked like that a dot. That was a small target area that we were jumping into. But We did it several times. No one got hurt, but it was pretty dumb. I'm not going to lie.
All's well that ends well. Barrett, we appreciate your
time. I mean, in retrospect, it was freaking awesome, but not doing that again.
No, that's good advice. Do not try this at home, kids. Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. Barrett, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Barrett Salee making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Barrett, what did you learn?
That Barrett, you know, I agree with him at the all or nothing. The more I've thought about it, as far as the fans go, I think it would, I mean, just the uproar. Like, who gets those tickets? Who's allowed in?
I don't agree especially with that at all. You make a decision. You make a hard decision, and you make as much money as you can by keeping people as safe as you can.
I mean, I know you're a man of action like that, Russ.
It's not about being a man of action. It's about just using common sense and doing the best we can under trying circumstances. I don't get the, well, it's dangerous, so let's just not even do it. We're having the games. If we're going to have the games, there are going to be players there. It doesn't make sense to have these humongous, gigantic stadiums completely empty. And maybe you can, if you have to have 6 feet around everybody there, and that's what you got to do, and you can only have 15,000 people in a 100,000-seat stadium, so be it. That's still that's a lot of people, 15,000. I just don't like having that entire space empty. Makes zero sense.
Well, I don't think it will be 100% empty. They'll figure out how many people they can fit in there with, you know, health department guidelines at what, you know, they think is a safe distance, you know, separation, and then you'll be scattered throughout the whole stadium.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, and I would rather
they're not going to have 20,000 people down there in D&E.
Yeah. I mean, that's to me, if that's all you can do, then that's what you do. But what you don't do is throw your hands up in the air and say, well, we don't want to have to make decisions on who can come in and who can't. So just nobody's going to come in. I mean, that's stupid.
Yeah, but nothing. It's not going to fly. Here's my opinion. It's not going to fly if you tell a season ticket holder that gives, you know, they have to give $2,500, like to sit on like the, between the 30 and the 50, both sides, you know, you got to pay like $2,200 per seat in a donation. You're not going to tell somebody that gives that university over $10,000 per year just to be able to buy tickets to the game. You're not going to tell them, hey, you're not allowed to come to the, you know, to the what? To the Bama game, but we're going to allow you to come to the Florida game. That's not flying. Either you're going to let them in, the season ticket holders, to pay them amount of money that you've already taken their donation and you've already taken their ticket prices for the game. Either you're going to let them in or you're not going to let them in at all, period.
Well,
that ain't flying.
No. You explain – they rank the donors by how much they give, right?
I know, yeah.
But Trey's exactly right, Russ.
Here's an example. I was talking to is ranked 985 out of around 10,000.
Okay.
So how do you tell that person you can come to one game, but you can't come to the other?
You don't. You if you're in the top 1,000 in a 100,000-seat stadium, then I'm pretty sure you're going to have the option to go to go to all the games. Now, if you're donor number 8,000, they might have to tell you, look, we're sorry, but you can't come in because you got 8,000 people in front of you and they have all got two or three tickets. What? You know, whatever. But you tell those folks, look, you know, it's difficult. We appreciate you. We love you. But this is what – and it's going to be decided by the governor probably. And you know, this is what the law says. This is how many people we can come in. And if it were up to us, we'd open up the gates and everybody could come in. But it's not because we've got this worldwide pandemic going on. And if you're a reasonable person – you're going to understand that. You might ask for a refund, and you should probably get one.
When are people reasonable anymore, though, Russ? I mean, I agree with everything Trey. I'm kind of over there with Trey on that. But, I mean, can the university do something to, you know, they're going to have to. Because one day this is going to be over, and we're all going to be able to, either we're going to be able to put 100,000. Who knows when that'll be. It might be this fall. But when they can sell almost 100,000 tickets again, you know, you don't want to alienate and piss people off so bad that they, you know, when it does open back up, they aren't going to buy tickets.
You don't want to, but you might have to. And just having empty stands is not an option. You got to do hard things, man. You got to have to make hard decisions. And somebody might get pissed off. Okay. Like,
I think that they're gonna have to take a lot softer hand than if they put you in charge of it.
No. I'm not saying I would strike that tone when if I had to call up. Listen, man, I work in sales. I know how to read a room and manage tone. Like, if I have to call somebody up with bad news, I know how to deliver it. I've done it. I do it all the time. So, but in terms of the meetings they're having with decisions, like, you, that's where you have to make the hard decision. And then on an individual basis, yeah, you might have to deliver some bad news, and you should put people who could do that with tact in there. But my main takeaway here, I just do not get the all or nothing approach. This is not a black and white issue. Few things are, and if you can't deal in nuance in these type of situations, you're like, everybody's pissed off.
It's so, like Trey said, you got to piss a lot of people off.
Well,
and if I'm a lot sorry, of people, I mean, I know they don't give as much individually as the top 1,000 you're talking about, but collectively, the people I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that Trey's talking about, collectively, they give as much as the top 1,000.
I'm sorry you might not get to go to a game. I'm sorry you might not get to sit where you want. We'll give you your money back if we have to. I'm very sorry, but 100,000 people have died in the country. Like, you know, sorry that you can't go to the game. Very, very, I hope you'll be able to
get past
that.
Yeah, see, but you're being very, very patronizing.
What?
I mean, like, you know, I definitely would not send you out there.
Well, I just said, I'm not, yes, I'm being patronizing now on the radio show. Yeah, they're not going to send me out there. They're going to send salespeople who are going to be, oh, I'm very sorry, Mr. So-and-so. And then that guy yells at them. They'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Is there anything we could do to make this right? We'll send you a fruit bag. Like, they're going to do that whole thing. Yeah, they're going to do all the stuff. Like, I get that. I'm looking at the 10,000-foot view. I'm not even giving up that we have 100,000 fans out there for the game. Think about the conversation we just had with Barrett Salee versus the last time we had him on, like a month ago, and everything was, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if the season's going to happen. If it is, there probably won't be any fans in it. To now, it's like, well, yeah, the season's definitely going to happen, and we're talking about how many games everybody's going to win, and it's just a matter of how many fans. What's the conversation in a month like? If they get these players back on campus and everything goes smoothly over the course of the next month or so, there's going to be more and more drumbeat about more and more fans loosening up the regulations. If we get through July and numbers go down, infection rates go down, testing goes up, infection rates go down, and the players are ready. You haven't had any major incidents. They're gonna open it up. And they probably should. If you're a 70-year-old man, you probably shouldn't go to the game. But if you're a 22-year-old student going to UT, Vols might have a good team this year, you ought to be able to go to the game. You assume the risk. My thoughts. Peter Burns is going to be on the show coming up next hour. I just like to say, Peter Burns, it sounds like a British detective. Peter Burns. Peter Burns is here, my lord.
Inspector Burns from Scotland Yard.
Detective Burns, I've got a clue. Colonel Mustard.
Like, he's a funny dude.
In the library with a wrench. You ever played Clue, Trey?
I remember playing it. It hasn't been in the last 10 years, but yeah, I remember playing it.
I hated that game.
You see the movie with Tim Curry?
No, it sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Turned it off. I'm normally a big Tim Curry fan.
What is Tim Curry's crowning achievement?
Either it in the miniseries or Dr. Frankenfurter, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. It's got to be Pennywise in the original It, or
yeah.
I also think he's very underrated in Home Alone 2.
Yeah, he was good in that one. Which one of you two was trying to get me to watch Knives Out?
That was me.
I know it was one
probably.
Of you guys.
Did you watch it?
No, I'm going to watch it this week. For some reason, I thought it was Stray.
Fantastic.
I saw the trailer for it. It looks fascinating. You do your Scotland Yard voice. It reminded me of it.
Peter Burns will be on the show, Fall 25, from ESPN. We'll talk college
football.
I'm still
trying to wrap my brain around Salih getting on top of a three-story house. I'm sorry if that was a silly question. I had to ask him when I had the chance. I'd shoot my shot. That baffled me the other night. Because you follow him on Twitter. He's just a really mild-mannered guy, family guy. I just can't imagine Salih jumping off a roof like that.
I imagine his wife was maybe not around. Barrett, you know, he's made it very public that Barrett suffers from he's epileptic, and I'd be surprised if his wife wasn't around and told his ass to get down. So,
well, no, I mean, the original tweet was, I know he was under 21. I wish we had thought of it. I mean, we can talk about it. So the stupidest thing you've ever done before the age of 21.
Oh, God.
That was what started.
I don't even want to know what your answer to that question is.
I put mine. I replied to him. I body surfed the Devil's Shoals on the Hiawassee without a life jacket and without a helmet. And almost killed myself.
How can you body surf in a river?
Because it's a class 3 or class 4 whitewater.
It wasn't body surfing. You're just sort of along for the ride at that point, like a cork in a bucket of water.
No, believe it or not, when you get caught in it, you figure out real quick you got to swim absolutely as hard as you can, or it'll drag you under and start bashing you on the rocks.
I set my friend's hair on fire outside a chemical plant at a party one night.
Well, this conversation has veered into strange and disturbing territories. Probably a good point to take a break. Stay with us. Open up the phone lines. 865-546-8200. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive.
Got some Tennessee basketball recruiting information for you. Get back to it this afternoon on The Drive. Kennedy Chandler, the five-star point guard out of Memphis. Memphis Briarcrest is transferring for his upcoming senior year to Sunrise Academy in, I believe, St. Louis. I think that's the same prep school that Derek Walker went to, if you remember him from a couple of years ago. Where have you gone, Derek Walker? Trey, this has got to help Tennessee. Like, I always wonder, can Tennessee get a player out of Memphis? People have often said, you know, Tennessee, I don't think we've gotten a player out of Memphis that Memphis wanted or had room for dating back to Tony Harris. It just doesn't happen very often. I think it was on the verge of happening anyway with Kennedy Chandler this time, and him getting out of the city, to me, helps. And if you really want to get conspiratorial about it, you can almost ask yourself, is he going ahead and getting out now because he knows he's coming to Tennessee and he doesn't want to deal with the blowback at home locally when he makes that decision?
Or is he just moving to Kansas to see what the state feels like when he goes to the Jayhawks? I don't know. That's a little joke. It's weird because he's moving to Bel Air, Kansas. And he's leaving Memphis, and he's leaving everything he's done at Briarcrest. Like, call me stupid, but it's gotten weird over the last 10 years with these high school players that leave one school, go to the next school, do an announcement on it. Like, what can you, and this is just me asking the question, besides maybe better play, but I don't see how better play would be in Bel Air, Kansas compared to what he's got going on in Memphis, but what's the reason? I mean, why make the move? I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
It's the opposite.
What?
What if it's because he's not, you know, if he goes to Bel Air, Kansas, he'll be the, you know, the best looking girl at the dance. You can't necessarily say that right now in Tennessee.
Oh man.
I mean,
are you trying? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and do your thing, so we can get back to reality.
No, you can't do that.
I know what you're doing. Go ahead.
What you do is you try and make light.
Barrett, he's the number 10 player in the country. He would be,
and he got dominated by BJ Edwards from Catholic High School in the state championship game last year.
He's not even in his class. First of all, he didn't get dominated. That game went down to the wires, a 1-point game, I think. Second of all, he's not even in his class. We can get both of these kids.
Also, they're 7 hours away from each other.
just please, like, please tell me you don't seriously not want Kennedy Chandler, the best player that Barnes would have signed since he's been here. Please tell me that's not where your head's at right now.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay,
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'd like to have him. I don't think he's as good as Edwards.
I've
got a source that told me that Briarcrest is going to be way down this year.
Well, yeah, they just lost the number 10 player in the country. I think it's going to be a big blow. I think they might take a step back.
It's going to be him and a freshman, basically. They lost four starters and their sixth man. So he's the only returning starter, and their seventh man last year was an eighth grader. So, yeah, I mean, they've got nothing out there now.
His final five is Duke, Kentucky, Memphis, North Carolina, and Tennessee.
Wow. We'd like to have those problems.
I'm telling you, this is just my theory based on nothing. I have no sources. This is just my rectally derived theory on this. I think he's been leaning to Tennessee for a while, wants to come here, wants to be coached by Rick Barnes, and he knows that if he stays at Briarcrest and he commits to Tennessee, it's going to be hell on him and his family in Memphis, so he's going ahead and getting out. That's my theory.
I think that could be accurate. I think it could be a combination of things. It could also be that he's, you know, if that's really all that's coming back, I mean, does that, you know, if Briarcrest has a really bad year, does that affect his ranking? How important is that to him?
In a positive way? Like,
no, in a negative way. I mean, if it's just, you know, against the competition that Briarcrest plays against.
If he stays there, they back off and they – I don't know. I don't think that would be a – still think they would.
I mean, I can see what you're saying, though.
He's moving to a town with a population of 6,200. I get he's moving.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't know what Briarcrest, what their schedule is like, but that Sunrise Academy, that sounds like one of these factories that pops up and they go and play all over the country. They just
basically travel. I don't know much about them, but yeah.
22-3 last year. And I mean, they played last year, they played St. Francis Academy, they played Hamilton Heights and Chattanooga, they played Huntington. They played McCallie last year. This is a school out of Kansas boys team. So, yeah, that's a
I mean, he's playing against, I mean, he's, I mean, last year he played against Division I talent almost every game. And that, you know, big boy private school division in Tennessee. I mean, he played a national schedule.
It'll be interesting to see, man. I think we're going to get him. And it's wild. Like, you look at all the guys that we're recruiting. Every time a new name pops up, they're all five stars. Like, Barnes has gone from recruiting exclusively. Like, remember, it was like within a year ago, we were sitting here talking about, oh, the next top 100 player Barnes signs will be his first. And now that's, like, even top 100, like, we don't even recruit four stars. They're just all five stars. All these kids, Banchero, Chandler, Jabari Smith out of Atlanta, Caleb Houston. Cisse.
He had four guys drafted in the draft. I mean, I realize the way the NBA draft works, but when you have four starters, you know, go in the draft, and then Kyle Alexander's, you know, in the mix there in the G League. So is Jordan Bone.
Let's get to the phones here this afternoon. Dakota, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I think I read somewhere that head coach of the school where Kennedy Chandler might be transferring to, he has somewhere like 72 or 72 D1 prospects into college basketball.
Yeah, he's going to a basketball prep powerhouse where he's going to play against the best of the best. And I like it, man. He's going to go out there and challenge himself. He wants to get better.
That team played at the Dr. Pepper Classic at Macaulay last year and beat Macaulay by two, the team he's going to. So they're apparently a powerhouse team.
Yep.
I hope it works out.
Go ahead, Dakota.
Oh, no, I was saying it just, I hope it works out and he still comes here.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're probably reading way too much into this. Like, he probably just wants to go and play with other great players and a great team and play a great schedule. So I don't know that it has a huge impact on his collegiate decision. But we can dream. We can dream. Anything else, man? Thank you, Dakota. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200. Your number to get.
I was going
to
say, Russ, that's actually in Wichita, pretty much. It's a little bit north of Wichita, so that's probably where he'd live at. That's Sunrise Academy.
Yeah, apparently if they are in the Dr. Pepper tournament this year, there's a good chance that Knox Catholic would match up with them. Let's go text from one of the basketball coaches over there is apparently listening to us today.
Shout out to the Catholic basketball staff, local high school basketball community turns to the Drive for its Tennessee basketball recruiting information. We got hour number two coming up here in just a minute. Peter Burns will join us here when we continue. Folks, you're looking to get out and do some car shopping this weekend. Head to Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Check out the brand new Mitsubishi Mirage, the $4,500 factory rebate. You can get a new car at Old Ben for right around $11,000. Brand new! $189 a month. They'll cut you a deal. They're waiting for you right now. Head on down to Old Ben Franklin Motors, Kingston Pike, across from the Chop House. Tell them the Drive sent you. We're back, hour number two in the top four coming up.
The Drive.